Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime on the internet, in your browser at WFPR.FM, and in the local Franklin Mass FM radio dial. Yeah, the dial, you know, the thing with the knobs and maybe the push buttons preset for 102.9. Here virtually again today with another candidate for a biennial town election coming up November 4th, 2025. Planning board candidate Eric Stelzer. Eric, thank you for doing this.
Happy to do it, Steve, and thanks for the opportunity to interview. And so many important issues going on in our community that I look forward to having this conversation with you.
Absolutely, because building, planning, zoning, that's been a hot button recently. So this is definitely an important thing to do and to get. And granted, you're relatively uncontested in terms of, but at least people will know a little bit more about you and then what potentially would happen, and we'll just take it as we go. So, yeah.
Absolutely appreciate it. Yeah. And to be honest, these issues are always issues in communities. And what do we want for a community and what's the shape for it? So I'm not surprised that these issues are coming up within Franklin now.
No, not at all. They've certainly have popped up in my time reporting from time to time. There's always this one that's in it, whether it's NIMBY or just what's going on. They just were not aware, which is another potential issue. Communication still can be improved. The town is doing better, but they can still do better, I think. So in the meantime, it gives me a role
Absolutely.
to try
Absolutely.
and help. So, for the listeners, if you're new, thank you for coming in. If you've been following this series, then thank you for doing so. I think at this point you're aware that each candidate has a set number of questions. There's three across all the candidates, and then there's some specific for each of the role, town council, planning board in this case. The intent is to kind of create that kind of common platform. So these are the same questions, how they answer. We'll be able to create the informed voter. So when we go to the ballot on or before November 4th, as I said, we can cast an informed vote. And then we're all in this together, one way or the other. So whoever gets in is still going to have to deal with, the advancement, moving the town forward and doing the business that we need to do. And I appreciate you personally and every other candidate for stepping up. I'm much more comfortable doing this. I could never, and even though people have asked me, "You gonna run something?" No. That's not me. Let somebody else go make the decisions. I'll do the reporting. That's fine by me. So for people who may not know, Eric, let's start with a little bit of your Franklin story. Tell us briefly about your road here, or at least your life within here in Franklin and community involvement.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I grew up here in Massachusetts. I've lived a lot of places other than Massachusetts, both here in the United States as well as spending some time over in the United Kingdom. And my family and I moved here to Franklin just a few years ago in 2022. And we really moved here for just the strength of the community. I remember when we were looking at where to move, we came down to Beaver Pond and we were just having conversations with people. What's it like to live here in Franklin? They just talked about how their neighborhoods get together for a family dinner or outdoor barbecues, or the sports are really active here in town, the great schools that we have. We were able to go down to downtown, visit Teddy Gallagher's and have a meal there. And it was just absolutely charming. And once we kind of had Franklin on our eyes, on the radar for the market and where we were looking at moving, we knew it was going to be an easy pick. Here, our family, it's myself and my wife. My wife is a school teacher in neighboring areas. And we have two kids. One's 8 and one's 10. They're both part of the Washington School District. And we are active in sports. I have one child that plays a lot of baseball, and both kids play a lot of hockey. So you probably see me out on either the baseball field or the cold ice rink somewhere along the way.
Early morning ice time or late hour ice time.
Yeah, it definitely is a commitment for sure, but it's rewarding. They get a lot out of it, and we have a lot of fun as a family as well, so.
Yeah, I remember my daughters at one point were under doing the swim stuff. So we would go into, the swim environment, the pool, prepared to sweat for the day, and yet it was 20 below outside. So you definitely had to dress in layers to survive outside after you spent the day in the pool sweating. So, yes,
Yeah.
indeed. Well, thank you for that. Second key question across the all the candidates is talking about the civil discourse. Clearly, I think people are aware that, particularly because of the political environment, mostly the national political environment, it's really created, controversy, and discourse is not always civil from time to time. We're fortunate here in Franklin, we're more, especially on a local level, this is a nonpartisan election, but there's still opportunities for discourse and avoiding some of the challenging environments. What can you speak to in terms of what you would do, or how you would either avoid the divide or help bridge the divide?
Yeah, I really see it more as a bridge. And it really comes down to two words, in my opinion. One, respect. Number two, listen. We need to be able to have open, candid conversations with each other and hear where people are coming from. And only by then can we understand each other and how we can be a part of the community that we're in. And, we just really need to be looking and seeking on how we can disagree in more agreeable fashions. And if we come at it from those lenses, we can have any conversation we need to, and know that the intent behind a person and what they're looking to, there's a real motive behind that. And we need to understand and appreciate those.
Yeah, and I think it's, I've said, I think in other interviews as well, there's a reason why we have two ears and one mouth. And sometimes we just really need to pay attention, truly just not just listening, but listening with intent, to your point, in terms of where are they really coming from. And we may still end up disagreeing, but at least not being disagreeable about the way forward.
And I think there's really an authenticity to the listening as well. And, being purposeful with it, not just being quiet to be polite, but actively listening to what people have to say on these issues. And through that, you'll build the trust, which is something that's so important in these roles.
Agreed. Yeah. Thank you for that. And the third question in this set is, what experience or background would help you serve in this particular role? Or another way to phrase it, what do you bring to the table that would help you, on the one hand, set you apart from the others that are competing for this role? Or in this case, since there's really no competition, would help you at least work with the others who are going to be in this role?
Yeah, Steve, it's a great question there. And when I was looking at how I wanted to volunteer within the community, I was really trying to think about what skills I have and how I could bring them within to Franklin. And I really settled in on the planning board opportunity. Both professionally and personally, I've had a lot of experience in this field. I've worked as a regional planner, I've worked as a state energy analyst, I've worked on implementing renewable energy programs within the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And more recently, I've worked as a transmission development director, as well as an environmental consultant. Personally, I've volunteered in the past on other committees. When I lived up in New Hampshire, a piece of legislation passed which allowed municipalities to create energy commissions. And I was the very first one in the city of Dover that stepped up and formed that energy commission, working with the city council there and looking to understand our energy use within our community and taking actions, working with the planning board there. I've also served on site evaluation committees in other states where I've reviewed applications that came before them for permits. And also reviewing the permit the applications that came before for renewable energy development. And what I've noticed about all that experience is it really takes important skill sets of engaging with stakeholders and understanding their needs. It requires a skill set of understanding site plans and reviewing them with a with an open eye to find where those impacts are, as well as the creative thinking to regulations and how we can set our regulations up in such a manner to make it the community that we want. So with all of that, I think it really helped to lead me towards taking the next step here in Franklin towards serving on the planning committee.
Good. Thank you for that. This next question is also in regards to kind of the master plan. Do you support the goals and recommendations of our master plan? And if so, how would you work as a planning board member to help implement them? Or if not, why not?
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the skill sets I think that's unique that I bring is that I was on the master plan. I worked with that committee for 18 months to help and to help listen to what the public had and what they wanted for a vision for their community and discern and think about what it meant and come up with the right language to include into the master plan. So as I was looking at it's putting myself forward for opportunities. I thought, one of the key things I can do is to, with that background and that history of being in those conversations, help to bring that to the planning board and emphasize. And so, what does it mean for me? There's really three issues out of the master plan that are most important to me. Number one is housing. Number two is how we can protect our open space and our agricultural land. And number three is how we can improve our downtown. So, housing, let's take that first. Housing is an issue. It's an issue here in our community. We, when I was having conversations with people, oftentimes what I was hearing is there's just not a price point for me to enter into it. People that are younger, that are looking to stay in Franklin and want to be in the community where they grew up, and they're just priced out. Likewise, there's a lot of people that are older that maybe have had their kids and they've moved on, and they just have too big of a house, and they're wondering, where do I live within this community? And we have a lack of diversity of housing within our community, and that's one thing that I think is really important that the planning board can work on to implement is what can we do to increase housing density in limited areas, and what does that mean? We're not talking about, big apartment complexes. We're talking about how can we support more organic, sustainable growth within our community that fits within the fabric of our community. So that's one key area that I'd look to be implementing. Number two, on protecting open space. Open space is so valuable for so many reasons, whether it's, preserving our natural land so that we don't have to invest into so much stormwater management because our natural lands can absorb the increased rainfalls that are coming from storms, whether it's the mental health capabilities of just being able to take a walk out. I remember when we were on the master plan and we were talking about one of the key things I want to do is every community, every neighborhood in our town should have access to open lands from their neighborhoods so that they can just get outside, take that breath of fresh air and just relax a bit. So I think that's really important. Low impact development. How can we implement, stormwater management systems within our development to ease that burden within our community? Looking at opportunities for pervious pavement to help our groundwater recharge. Those are important factors for us and constantly kept coming up from people. Lastly is economic development. And I see, as I mentioned, when we were looking at Franklin, one of the first things we did was to come to downtown. We have such a great downtown, and it has so much, it has strong foundations, so much potential. We really need to reinvigorate our opportunities for the downtown. So what does that look like? It means making our downtown more accessible to people. How about access into our stores? What about the pavements on the sidewalks and making sure that they're accessible to everyone within our community? So having an inclusive downtown area. What does it mean about having diversity of our types of businesses that are in our downtown? What about housing and how can we increase our housing in our downtown area to create that more vibrant center while protecting our open spaces that are elsewhere in the area? So these are just three of the key issues that I think are important. There's a whole list of other opportunities that I would be excited to engage in and listen to what other people feel are important to them and help to implement within the planning board.
Good. Thank you for that. Because, yeah, and I can attest as one in that senior category you're talking about, our kids grown up, we had the colonial, where do we go? We, as an example, one, we're fortunate we ended up overbidding to get into Chestnut Ridge in the condo environment. Not everybody can do that. One, because there's just not enough of those particular spaces available. And that I think the technical term is that missing middle of the housing, the diversity within. We've got clearly, what is it, 80% single family homes. We've certainly seen a rash of, apartments, but the middle is the other accommodations. We've got very limited senior living in terms of the first floor bedrooms, first floor living arrangements, etc. So I'm totally on board on that. That definitely needs to be in there. As an example of one, and I know I'm not alone in that because it seems like every other conversation I talk to, and certainly at the senior center, there's a lot more people in the same category as I am, and they're still waiting for the opportunity to jump and try to go somewhere. Many of those, unfortunately, have already made that move outside of the town because there's nothing here. So yeah, I agree that's certainly worthy of conversation. How do we implement that so that people agree that that's exactly what needs to be done?
And the foundations are there, Stephen, right? You know, we have such a great asset in, with our town common, with the senior center that's there, with great sidewalks in the downtown core area. And so I think there's a real opportunity on how we can reinvigorate that downtown to have that right mix of increased housing as well as supporting our local business there to create that vibrant, thriving community that we want.
And the next question in this planning board arena, do you have a vision for responsible, sustainable growth in Franklin? Cool, you're going to be managing the proposals before you, but if you have a vision, you can share it as well.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, thanks for the question. And you know, sustainable development means so many different things to different people and how you approach it. And for me, as I was thinking of answering this question, it's really about having a vibrant, inclusive community that protects our natural resources, creates housing, enriches our community services, and supports the economic development. Because for me, sustainability isn't just about protecting our natural resources. It's making sure that people have a roof over their head, making sure that people can earn a living, making sure we protect our cultural resources that are within this community. And so it's really looking at it from multiple different perspectives that will get the best benefit for our community.
Yeah, I concur. And that was one of the reasons the question was phrased in that way, because sustainability is not just one aspect. One of the key ones in there, and you did reference it, was kind of the economic development piece. And especially if something is being built, and certainly there's still some numbers out there in regards to, well, it's more important to have ownership based versus apartment r rental based. I think the book is open on that. We haven't gotten yet a final decision as to which would be better. And I think there may be circumstances where one is better than another. That's something we still need to get to as a community to have that discussion and get there. But in the meantime, yeah, we got to build something so that at least it doesn't overtax the resources that are required to support it, and still gives us some revenue so that we can maintain what we need in terms of the lifestyle and the community.
Yeah, I agree. You know, sustainable development doesn't mean no growth. It just means the right size of that growth. And that's where we need to have that more dialogue within our community and what that means for them. Likewise, sustainability doesn't mean just about protecting our open spaces. It's about the connectivity within our community and how we stay connected and how we can, by being connected, we can be stronger and we can weather those challenges that come before us. And all that kind of comes into the planning board and how we want to envision what our community is and how we want to set ourselves up for development.
Good. Thank you for that. And the final question is more of an open opportunity to the extent that if there is a topic that we haven't addressed yet that you want to speak to, or just use the opportunity as kind of a summary or closing comments. While we've got the platform and the people here, might as well take the opportunity and use it.
Well, I appreciate the open-ended question. And what I just say is that while this race isn't a competitive race, it's an important race. There's a real opportunity now for the planning board to work with the new town council on implementing the master plan. The master plan, you know, was an exhaustive effort, and a lot of input went into it. And we really need to look at that. And I think that's what I can bring. Is that experience working on the master plan to help implement that vision, helping to build those bridges across our community, listen to the issues that are before folks, and bring my skill set professionally of working on renewable energy development and transmission development to better understand those site plans and be looking at it from that lens of how we can minimize the impacts to people within our community.
Yeah, and I think having met her again for the second time at the Harvest Festival, we actually have a new planning director as well, right? Replacing Brian Taberna, who retired. So it'll be interesting to see how she, gets her feet wet and gets involved in the planning space, which certainly she'll have some interaction with the planning board as well.
Yeah, I just recently heard about that as well, and really excited that we found someone to fill that role, a role that was really needed to get filled. There's only so much work that Amy can do within our town. So, great team of people there at the town that are working on these issues, and really look forward to collaborating with them more as a member of the planning board.
Good. Thank you for that. And listeners, thank you for listening. The show notes, and there'll be a slide at the end of this that'll have Eric's contact info. So if you want to reach out via phone or email to further the discussion, give an additional question if we haven't covered it, he's welcoming that.
Absolutely. Thank you, Steve, for the opportunity to talk here.
Yes. Well, thank you again for doing this. Listeners, thank you for listening. Stay tuned. There'll be more. This is the last. Well, there were three planning candidates, and all three have now been recorded. So it depends upon how they get approved to get out in the cycle. But all three at least will be out there. And quick reminder, we do this because Franklin matters.
This program was made possible by your Franklin friends and neighbors, good folks just like you. Thanks for supporting Franklin TV. And thanks for watching.